talked about a lot of things back in Sunday school today, and you know, Kathy said before it started, she said, "I don't really know what we're going to talk about." And you know, that's sometimes that's when the Lord moves the best, is when we don't know, because that's when we begin to speak about the things that He really wants us to speak about. And I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the Word. And you know, I really love that song you guys sang. I love that term Hosanna. You know, because years ago the Lord gave me a message on that, and you know, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, you know, the people were casting their garments before Him, and they were casting their garments on the donkey that He was riding. And you know, the Lord showed me that was a type of them casting the garments of praise. And that, you know, that donkey was something whereupon a man had never sat. So it was a wild donkey. And I don't know if you've ever been around horses or anything like that, but I'm telling you what, if they're not broke and they're not used to people, I don't know if I want to ride one. Because they'll give you a ride of your life. And anyway, but I'm going to tell you what, when they cast their garments of praise upon that donkey, and their garments and the palm leaves before that donkey, it was walking, but it wasn't walking on the earth, because it was walking on those things. And I'm going to tell you what, there's only one person who can ride the wild things in your life, and that's Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we say, "Lord, I can't get control over this area or that area of my life or whatever." But I want you to know, if you'll praise Him in the midst of it, He can, and He will ride that thing right on into Jerusalem, so to speak. And when they were hollering, "Hosanna in the highest," the actual words, if you go back and look at the Greek in that, what you end up finding out, he was saying, "Oh, save, raise us up in your highest, to your highest." And you know what? I love the song we sing sometimes, "With the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand." When the enemy's coming against you in your life, if we'll praise Him, He'll allow you to have that two-edged sword, which is the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what, there's no enemy that can stand against that. There's nothing that can overcome that. That's the mightiest thing that there is the Word of God. And the high praises of God will open the door. You know, He inhabits the praises of His saints. And when you begin to praise Him, what you do is you open up the heavenly realms to where He can minister with mighty, mighty power. Praise God. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the Word here. The title to my sermon today is Faith, Hope, and Love. And we talked about faith and love a lot back there in Sunday school this morning. But it's going to deal a lot more with faith than anything else in this, because I want you to know that He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For everyone that comes to Him must believe that He is, that's present tense right now, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to just pour Yourself through this Word today. I ask You to just be lifted and magnified and glorified for this little sermon here today. I give You all praise, all glory, and all honor, because You alone are worthy of it all. I thank You, Father, that You're beginning to move in us. You're going to begin to quicken the faith. You're the author and the finisher of it, so that means that as we move in Your faith, we're going to grow and grow and grow in You until we come into that fully mature man, even into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I thank You for what You're going to do. I give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." Ephesians 2:8 says this, "By grace are you saved, through faith. It's not of yourself, it is the gift of God." And the definition for the word grace that the Lord has given me in years past, and I think almost all of you know it, and it's
the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection out into the life. And you know, He's the one who has to influence your heart, and then He will reflect out into your life. And when He reflects out into your life, that's when other people get touched by His presence in your life. And that's the definition for the word grace, and the definition for the word faith that the Lord gave me years ago was this: believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. And I'm going to tell you what Scripture says: let God be true and every man be what? A liar. And if you believe anything other than God being true, then guess what you are? You're a liar. I can call you a liar because it's God's word. But really, you know, what He wants us to do is that divine influence upon our heart, it'll reflect out into our lives. And as we believe His truthfulness of what His word declares, then we'll find that there's nothing that's too hard for God. There's nothing too big for God. But anyway, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You mean God had already ordained the works that you were to do? Yes, He has. He had it all planned ahead of time. He had you in mind with everything that He wanted you to do before the foundation of this world was ever created. And I mean, you know, that sounds a little vast, but I'm going to tell you what, it's the truth. And I want you to know that a lot of times the good works that He has you do is just to love people, just to treat people good. You know, I told the people back in the class back there, I said, what we all need to start doing is the 11th commandment. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. You know, I got to stare like this, like, what are you talking about? Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And I'm going to tell you what, when we start loving one another, He said, even as I have loved you. He loved us enough to where He went to the cross and gave His life for us, a ransom, that we might be set free. And, you know, love is the answer. You know, we was talking about there, and I said, you know, it's funny how even songs in the world sometimes declare what the Word of God is. And people who write those songs, a lot of times they're not even Christians. But the Spirit of God inside of them is inspiring them, whether they know it or not. And that one song, "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love, It's the Only Thing That There's Just Too Little Of." And you know what? That's true. And I'm going to tell you what, when Christians start beginning to really show the love of God to people, creation is going to be changed. And there's going to be people who you never thought would have given their life to the Lord or committed their life to the Lord, who will suddenly fall on their knees and they'll begin to say, God is in you of a truth. And that's what we need, folks. We're living in a world right now where there's a lot of things going on. I mean, it's just some ugly stuff going on out there. But I tell you what, God's not out of control. And a lot of times He'll bring peace out of chaos. He'll bring forgiveness. And we don't know all of His ways. We don't understand everything that He does all the time or allows to happen. But I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't make any difference what we understand. It's all part of His plan, the things that are happening. Hebrews 11:1 says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And you know, I like when it says, "now faith." What does "now" mean? Right now. It don't mean tomorrow. It don't mean yesterday. It means now. Now faith is the substance. And that word for substance is a word in Greek that means to stand underneath or to sit underneath. And I'm going to tell you, and when you take stand under, and you realize that in Hebrew, everything goes from right to left, it's to understand. He wants us to understand. And that's what his faith is going to do in us. It's going to cause us to begin to understand what his will, his purpose, and his plan for our life and for creation out there is all about. You know, so many times we don't understand what's going on, but I tell you what, as we move in faith and we come to the measure, the stature of Christ, we will begin to understand. You know, Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says it like this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. You know, I think I told you all, I'm not sure if I said it back in Sunday school last week or said it up here, but I'm going to tell you what, your five natural senses will deceive you all the time. Your five natural senses, they don't have oil, but your five spiritual senses are anointed with oil. And it's the like the 10 virgins that are in the scripture. Five had oil and five didn't. And the five that had oil had light and they could see what was going on. The five that didn't have it. And I'm going to tell you what, in each one of our lives, we have those 10 virgins in our life. We have the natural man and we have the spiritual man. And it's time for us to begin to ask God to help us function just out of the spiritual man. Because then we will see things for what they really are. And you know, if you say, well, Oscar, what are you talking about those senses? Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord's good. It says we're touched with the feeling of the infirmities of those around us. You know, it says that, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, these are all natural senses, but they're spiritual senses too. And it says, when we see him as he is, we shall be like him. So all your five natural senses, you have five spiritual senses that are parallel to them. But the five natural senses don't have the oil. And that's why a lot of times when you start looking at something and you think, oh, I wonder what's going on over there. And, you know, and with your natural mind, you'll concoct all kind of wild stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, when you see with the eyes of the Spirit, you'll begin to know that what's happening over there is exactly what's supposed to happen, because God's going to use it in some tremendous way. But I just want you to realize all that. You know, I'm going to read that to you again. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. You know, when you have the title deed, you know what? You own it. I like when I get the title deed to something. That means no more payments. I love that. No more payments. I like having the title deed. This is faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. You know, the word for hope in Scripture a lot of times it has the meaning of to anticipate, usually with pleasure. And Scripture tells us that we're saved by hope. But it says, what a man hopes for, what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? If you see it, you don't have to hope for it, you got it. But a lot of things we have to hope in God that we don't see with the natural eyes. But I tell you what, he's on the throne. And when he's placed that hope as the anchor of your soul, and if you're hoping in things out there, they're gonna miserably fail you. If you're hoping in the financial systems or the educational systems or whatever's out there in the natural, it's not going to get the job done. You better hope thou in God. That's what Scripture tells you, hope thou in God. Keep that anticipation of what God's going to do. And sometimes he'll use you in things out there. He'll use those things. But he wants you to hope in him, not in the things themselves. You know, Margaret sent this to me yesterday, and she said, I want you to look at this. She said, you might want to do a sermon on this. And I thought, well, I said, okay, you know. And you know what? That's really sort of where this sermon came from. And here's what it says. Faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. Faith takes you through the problem. Faith doesn't always take away the pain. Faith gives you the ability to handle the pain. Faith doesn't always take you out of the storm. Faith calms you in the midst of the storm. And I tell you what, that is so, so true. And a lot of times we say, oh God, when there's a storm going on, we say, oh God, in our lives, we say, oh God, where are you? And what we need to say is, Lord, I know you're here. You are my peace. If I keep my mind stayed on you, you'll keep me in perfect peace. And I tell you, he'll keep you right in the midst of the storm. He'll keep you right in the midst of the pain. He'll make it bearable. You know, my brother, I think I told you all this last week. My brother, when he was up in the hospital, you know, he recommitted his life to the Lord as I talked to him and stuff. And he'd had experiences with God, but he had pulled away from it, you know. And a lot of our loved ones do that. But I'm going to tell you what, the Word declares, he said, I'll, talking about himself, never leave you nor forsake you. You might pull away from him, but he don't pull away from you. And sometimes we don't understand that we have to go through some things to get us to where he wants us to be. And you know, my brother was having a lot of pain, and he was, you know, in the process, he was basically in the process of dying. And he literally almost died one time, and they called me, and I went up to the hospital, and I had power of medical attorney over him, and all of his vital signs were going down to just about nothing. And they said to me, they said, he's got a DNR, said, should we resuscitate him? I said, no. I said, but you can do whatever you need to do if it's not something that's going to be long-term to try to save him. I said, you know, and he bounced right back. They did some stuff, and he bounced right back for a while. And he kept getting better, and I thought he was going to pull up out of there. But I think he was ready to go. I think he wanted to go, you know. But he kept telling me, he said, I'm in so much pain. And then he told me one day, he said, you know, he said, I felt like the Lord told me. And this is what he said, and I shared this with you last week. He said, I said to him, Lord, why am I suffering so much? And he said, he felt like God said to him, I wanted you to realize how much I suffered for you. And you know, I don't think he suffered near like Jesus did. You know, Jesus was beaten. If you read the scriptures, he said his vestige, talking about his face and his, you know, his appearance, was worse than any man. So you look at the most horrible thing you've ever seen out there, and what Jesus went through was worse than that. And I'm going to tell you what, he took all of those stripes it says, you know, by his stripes we are healed. He took all those stripes and all those beatings and all that mistreating. He took that all for us. He took our place on the cross that we might not have to do that. So we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And we're also to say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. And I tell you what, it's all about his faith. And I have a poem I'm going to share with you. And I'm going to talk to you a real long time today. This is going to be short and sweet. But the poem the Lord gave me years ago, he gave it to me in 1992. And it goes like this. It's called Faith, Hope, and Love. And it says, faith is the founding factor where we learn the benefit of his love. As we learn to be obedient, then we will truly rise above. Our problems and our heartaches will seem to vanish away, as his hope will keep us reaching until the dawning of the day. For hope looks not with the eyes, but truly with the heart, and even with the anticipation and pleasure that he can only impart. For hope will make us well-pleasing in all that we say and do. As we grow to maturity, his love will spring anew and bring us to the completion of that of a full-aged man, and we will truly be an expression of his love throughout his eternal plan. And I tell you what, I honestly believe those words are prophetic words. They're words that God, you know, gave to me. And I'm going to tell you what, if we'll just trust Him, if we'll just rely and cling to Him, you know, there's nothing that can touch us unless God allows it. You don't have to fear what's going on out there in the world. You know, a lot of people are so afraid we're going to get into World War III, or we're going to get into this, or we're going to get into that. Don't worry about that stuff. You trust in God. I'm going to tell you what, one scripture says 1,000 will fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. You know, no plague will come nigh unto you. Nothing can touch you unless God allows it to touch you. And if He allows it to touch you, it's not to punish you. It's not to treat you bad. He's given you an opportunity to praise Him. He's given you an opportunity to tell of the goodness of the Lord, even in the midst of sometimes being in pain or having a problem. You know, having a problem don't always, like I said, I think I told you last week, that story about the devil sitting on the curb crying, and they come up to the devil and they said, "Well, why are you crying so much?" He said, "Because I get blamed for all the stuff I didn't get a chance to do." And we have a tendency to do that. Christians have a tendency to blame the devil for everything. I'm going to tell you what, don't give the devil any place. Scripture says not to give him any place. You magnify God, you lift up God, and don't you worry about the devil. Jesus overcame the devil for you. He overcame Satan for you. You can walk, you're more than a conqueror. You can walk in the victory that He won for you on Calvary. Okay, folks, well, that's all I had to share with you today. So if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody wants prayer, we'll pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, I thank You, Father, that You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I ask You, Father, to just give us all ears to hear what Your Spirit would speak to us each and every day, that our faith might increase. You know, we used to sing a song, "Little faith believes God can. Greater faith believes God will. Perfect faith believes it has been done and praises God for victory." And, you know, help us to move up into that perfect faith, Father, that we can just praise You for victory in whatever situation we find ourselves in or whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. We don't praise You for the circumstance, but we praise You because You're God and You're with us. You said You'd never leave us nor never forsake us, and that You're with us always, even until the end of the world or into the end of the age. We give You the praise, we give You the glory, we give You the honor, for You alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.